morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 24th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Somebody stole your watch. Just left you the band.
No. Look it.
Oh, okay. I'm getting... Ange won one of these raffles where I was with Harbrick Jewelers in Brookings. I'm getting my three watches that I haven't worn in like 10 years.
You're getting them resized?
They're all back. No, not resized. Well, they did have to get the leather part.
Oh, okay.
So I guess in theory could be resizing, but no.
So you're just putting a new band on them.
So I'm going to be looking snappy here pretty quick.
All right.
Not like you out of the Jetsons, but...
You're going to be making lots of rubber band sandwiches, huh?
Our quote this morning comes from John Harold. Without trust, words become a hollow sound of a wooden gong. With trust, words become life itself.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, every once in a while, blind squirrel.
This day and age, it's hard to know what to trust.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Memorial Day certainly is a demarcation point for the community. You know, summertime, lake activity, river activity. How is the Trinity right now? Have you been on the river the last little bit?
Yeah.
Is it swimmable yet?
No. It's going really strong, and it's cold and muddy.
Well, you know, many times that's what is called good.
Yeah, no, you know what it does is, you know, when you have these sustained flows for a long time, it scrubs the river, and hopefully it'll make an impact on, you know, there's a lot of moss on, or that algae moss stuff.
I use a line Bill Cosby used in one of his comedy records about, the officer said, you know, geez, why are you going so fast? He said, I'm burning the gunk out.
Something like that.
For the river. Yeah. Burning the gunk out. Yeah. To get that stuff. Now, I heard, and maybe you're aware of the numbers, with the fish count, the salmon on the Klamath Trinity, going to be at some ungodly low number.
Really scary.
But there was a reference that was used that there, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever the time frame, there were 20,000 jobs related to the salmon industry on the Klamath River system. Is that possible that it was... Huh. I can't think of any. I mean, there hasn't been a fishery, you know, at Rekwa for 100 years, so it's not that.
Not that I...
Okay.
Yeah, we would have to do some research on that.
We're next to each other then on that one. What is the impact to the communities with the salmon count being as low as it is, or projected to be as low as it is projected?
Yeah, so it's... I mean, it's just up and down the line with, you know, commercial fishermen. You know, that's a big impact. Then you have the bait shops, and you have the restaurants, and you have all the sport fishing that goes around with it, and then all the people from out of town that come in and moor their boat to stay in the hotels, and you know, it's huge, huge impact financially for everybody who's connected to it, and then down the line to lodging and other tourist services. And then on the tribal side, they are not fishing. You know, and
is that a cultural or is that a financial?
Well, there's the commercial fishing for the tribes, but then there's, you know, that I think they could live without that if they had to, but it's the cultural side where they fish for subsistence, and it's, you know, I think I saw where it said one fish per 10 people is something like that, where for the regular cultural fishing, and that's
it's like about, I mean, it's two fish sticks.
It's just not, it's absolutely devastating, and I mean that's what the world is created around.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, last chance grade, there was a nice success early last week.
There was.
With the what?
Well, the state of California is given $5 million in project planning and study to the last chance grade. And so what they're going to do with it is they'll put in equipment around last chance grade on the backside of it, and they'll do geotechnical studies and some other environmental studies. So the working group that I'm on, there's, you know, a whole bunch of us from businesses, politicians, environmentalists, people who use 101 a lot for driving back and forth. And we have like seven routes right now that it could take, but we can't go any further with picking a preferred alternative route until we get some more studies back of, you know, well, we can't put it there because if you put a tunnel there, it'll just fall in. And so they have to have some more information. And this $5 million will get us to that next step.
Looking at the graph, it's kind of like you got a spine, so to speak, from Wilson Creek or down at the bottom at the beach, mm-hmm. the old hostelry, up to Elk Valley and their reservation. And then just kind of have various cutoffs of that. If multiples are acceptable geologically, do you have a sense which one would be chosen? Is it going to be the short one because it's the cheapest? Is it going to be the long one because that's the one that makes most sense for a long term? Is there been any discussion, any words to that?
A little bit. So here's the main problem is the shortest distance goes right through old growth redwood trees that are, you know, really, really big. It's a World Heritage site and very, very sensitive.
Old growth or virgin?
I believe they're virgin. Yeah, really, really, really big ones. Okay. So it goes from that to old growth to second growth that are, you know, big trees also. So the way it worked out, and when you see it on the maps that we were looking at, was the shorter the route, the more impact it would have on the environment for trees and other things. The longer the route, the less impact, because it went into Green Diamond property that's already been logged and a little less value in the timber and that kind of thing. And so the longest route is the most expensive. The shortest route's the least expensive money-wise, but as far as resources go, it's, you know, the inverse for the impact.
So the longest route is probably the most likely, and the shortest route is the least likely, the inversion of the cost factor equation.
Well, so the longer route also has more cuts and fills and bridges, and, you know, so you have that too. So there's a lot of weighing of all this you just have to basically get to the point where you say which ones are really, really alternatives.
Because we're still looking to throw out a couple.
Well, I'm hoping, yeah, there'll be a couple that'll get thrown out of this information, and we'll hopefully have, you know, two or three to pick from, and then we can all, you know, talk about it and hopefully get everybody on the same page. So when
do you need everybody?
One, yeah, you do. I mean, because if the project gets sued and it gets held up, you know, it's just that much more time and cost and a threat of the road disappearing. So it's you really do need to get everybody on board and work together to make sure that we figure out something that we all can live with.
You said time and cost, and I think for the general community, you could throw safety in there. As outweighing either of the other two.
When I said the road dropping off, that's what I meant by that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Where those of us who aren't at the table, those of us who are at risk financially, culturally, where does our economic value weigh into this? I mean, we're not trees, so we don't have a special interest group for that. And we certainly don't have the mega deep pockets, so we don't have that. But our way of living is our way of living. How does that factor into this cluster? Because, you know, this is a and you talk about the spiritual stuff about the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're arguing logic against emotion, it's a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. But yet, if this thing goes down, when this thing goes down, and this route isn't in place, okay, you want some economic realities, here they come.
Yeah,
really,
so they've
quickly.
They've done all the workup on how much it would cost to have everybody drive around it, first of all, and then the people who won't drive around it, what that loss is. And so they've got all those numbers, and that's been a driving force. It's, you know, these, I think they're kind of all equal, and then you kind of have to mix
them all
together.
So it's a balanced playing field.
The
trees
economic,
and the owls aren't going to win just because they're trees and owls, so to speak.
Well, I mean, I think that they're all taken into account equally, and then you have to make some tough decisions at the end, and hopefully we get, because I think that if it depends on what the impact is, you know, I think there's probably the environmental groups that are at the table would probably, you know, if there was another route that was a little bit more expensive that could work, that didn't have a huge impact on owls and old growth trees and a World Heritage site, you know, that's probably what they're going to push for. And if we can get them to do that without suing, then
Makes sense, as long as the money is there and the time factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
one important thing, though, is at that last meeting that we were at, I think you were there also, as I asked that question, that if this road dropped off all the way, could you open it back up, and how long would that take? And the answer was yes. Do you remember my cousin Randy went with me? And he said that within about 5 days, the most, they could dig into the hill far enough to open that up one way and you know, keep traffic going through.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ryan, if we have last chance grade, that's the challenge between Humboldt and Del Norte. We've got Hooskinen in Curry County. We've got Richardson's Grove. We've got 299. We've got all these places in our area. 36,
yeah.
Everybody forgets 36, but 36 is just as much. Is there anything that can be done? I mean, it's a 2-state, 4 counties, so there's a lot of jurisdictional stuff going on. You got state, federal, and local jurisdictions. To look at this area and try to come up with something that is a better way to fry an egg. We'll just leave cats out of this one. Confusion Hill before, Willits before. I mean, is this just endemic of a small rural part of the state?
I think so.
Country?
It's, you know, and then a small rural state that, or a county that, or counties that, you know, there's not a lot of money, first of all, you know, and so what do you do when there's not that and everything's set up to happen, you know, to program money, it takes forever. And then you have to wait for the emergency. It's kind of a goofy system for sure. But, you know, I don't know how, you know, the ground moves so much around here. It's almost like, what do? You know, I mean, you elevate every single section, but
you've got buds in Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not along the coastline, but they certainly have got their ground shifting moments also.
Mm-hmm.
But things seem to get done there. Is it a reflection of population, voters?
I have no idea. I don't know that to be true or not. So
well, I mean, we'll look at Highway 101. I mean, it's expanded out. The population has grown, but it hasn't grown fourfold in the last 20 years. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't.
Well, so. I understand you sit next to somebody who ought to. Doesn't she have some kind of a state title coming up?
Oh, Virginia.
She ought to be able to make some things like that.
So I'll
give you a little bit of insight.
You're probably going to have her on your show soon, right?
Yeah, oh, maybe. But, you know, I've got that memory thing that's kind of becoming more of a challenge anymore.
Yeah.
Is so that a frustration
that'd be
for
a
you,
good,
though?
Well, it'd be a good question for, you know, Mike McGuire or Jim Wood or, you know, Virginia is a state thing that,
right.
You know, because these are state highways and we, you know, I get so buried into, you know, the local stuff that just never stops, you know, and garbage and, you know, tires over here and dogs barking and illegal roosters and, you know, just like.
Roosters, six-lane highways. I can see the priority there.
State highway.
State highway.
Yeah, yes. Don't forget that part. So,
okay, what about state?
I'm not saying
highway
it's,
or U.S. Highway 101 through Richardson's Grove. Or,
yeah, so
are
I'm,
any
I'm
of these
not
lessons?
Saying it's not it's not important, or that you know when that we haven't sent 500 letters and attend meetings in Crescent City. You know, I don't know how many meetings I've attended up there for the last chance grade. So I mean, we do pay attention to them and try and deal with them as best we can, but it's I mean, I don't know how often the roads get fixed in Sonoma County compared to Humboldt County. This is not something I've ever looked into.
Fine. Richardson's Grove, not in Humboldt County. Are there parallels from Last Chance Grade in 299, which also is not in Humboldt County, that we can learn and apply pressure towards to help out getting that situation finalized?
Lessons that we've learned from Richardson's Grove that we can apply to Last Chance Grade?
No, Last Chance Grade lessons we can apply to Richardson's Grove. Is there anything the community can do to help
get that
so we don't have the artificially high cost in Humboldt County to live?
I think the lesson that Congressman Huffman learned from it was that get everybody at the table ahead of time and get everybody agree ahead of time so the project doesn't get sued and then it gets held up for years and years and years.
Well, so, we're kind of late for that one, huh, with Richardson's Grove?
Yeah, but that's a lesson that has been learned there and applied to the Last Chance Grade because it's, you know, that one's going to be even more complicated. Or, you know, the Richardson's Grove project is just, it's really, really small. And
it seems like it would be a simpler to come to resolution with.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the main issues are there that have made that such. Other than it's the beginning of the Redwood Curtain, and Richardson's Grove is an extremely special place, and you know that we don't want the redwoods to be harmed and that kind of thing. But I, from everything I've seen, that's not going to happen. And there's no, you know, there's no tree bigger than 12 inches being removed. And so I don't understand it. But
it's not in your district, is it?
No, but it, you know, there's businesses in my district that are affected by it. So I want to try and do my part and hopefully moving it forward.
Is there anything that Humboldt County can do on that one because it is in Mendocino?
Yeah, we've sent many, many letters and went to lots of meetings and, you know, made lots of phone calls. It's part of our lobbying effort.
So stuff's going on.
Yeah, we definitely have put a lot of effort into it. It's just, you know, it's a state highway and we do our best.
That state highway thing again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensing consistency.
If nothing else.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, last week we heard a press release Thursday, Friday about the homeless count in Humboldt County being down significantly. Big ol' asterisk. But so were the number of people asking. Okay. So, yeah, it was kind of like, do you celebrate it or not? Is there a win or not? Are all of the monies that are being invested in all of the infrastructure to assist the homeless folks in Humboldt County, is it working? Is it not? Well, if it's working, is there going to be a reduction? If it's not, does there need to be more put? It was just kind of a number that was put out in a void. So when you saw the number being, what, 850 or something in that neighborhood, what was your reaction to
that
determination?
So in 2015, it was 1,180, and then this last one in 2017 was in 668. So there has to have been some movement, and, you know, they had 15 agencies and more than 80 trained volunteers, and then other volunteers helping. And so, I don't know. I hadn't seen where there was a massive difference in the amount of people that were out counting.
I think that's how the press release or the story was kind of framed, is that there were a lot less people out counting.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
Is that like
less,
a bird count where you got to be everywhere or not? I mean, it was kind of.
Yeah, I think. And they may be more sophisticated, too, of, you know, you don't need as many people to do the same kind of work. And
so 40% reduction sounds like a huge win.
I hope so, yeah.
But if there's 40% reduction, isn't that also indicating you need less people providing the services? Or are there some people who weren't getting attention that now are because time is available?
I don't know. I would assume that the work never stops, and it feels like every time you take care of one, there's another one that replaces them.
Right, and, yeah, somebody else is backfilling. Yeah.
I've noticed a difference. Being in Eureka for work, you know, to drive here and go to the courthouse to my office and drive around Eureka a little bit, it doesn't feel that much different in Eureka for me. I haven't noticed a huge drop-off, but in McKinleyville and around the 5th District, there was, I've noticed a big difference. I haven't seen.
Now you had some issues about 12, 16 months ago.
Yeah. And then we had the sheriff and the social workers, you know, the MIST project come through and help people. We offered the transportation assistance program. I've had quite a few times where there's been an issue will come up where somebody will be homeless and I'll find out about it and I get a hold of Connie Beck and they put their wheels in motion and the next day the person's in temporary housing and then moved into permanent housing. And so I've seen a big difference in my district anyways, and I don't know about the other ones.
I think it could be drawing more people into Eureka. Certainly, if they don't have to be in the hinterlands, they can.
Yeah, but there's a lot of projects. You know, the Housing First, Betty Chin. There's the Transportation Assistance Program. Yeah. You know, we started with the 30-60 one where they house 30 people in 60 days and they end up housing 50 people or something like that. So there's a lot of attention being paid to it, and hopefully we're getting better at it, and hopefully these numbers are real. You know, I mean, I've noticed a difference where I live.
Yeah. I have to ask Estelle next time she comes in because
it'd be interesting to see what Arcata is experiencing also,
and Fortuna,
if
they are too. More questions to ask more people. Yeah. I guess you're going to have to tune in to find out.
You're not fired yet.
No, I hope not. Or maybe I do. I don't know. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.